Good evening and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. It's Kaya Flynn with you until 7 this evening and I do hope you can keep me company. Let me know what part of the county you are tuned into by texting 083 300 3300 or sending an email to kflynn@radiokerry.ie. I'm always wondering what part of the county is my voice being broadcasted to right now, so do let me know here tonight. We have a packed show for you this evening and we visit Killarney to speak to Terry Kelleher about her event about the Artist's Eye on Kerry. We revisit the archive of Sean Hurley and we have some music from Jim Lyons for you too, who I met at the Nakalaka Rambling House last week, which is available on our podcasting section as well. If you missed that, just search Travels Through a Kingdom and the Nakalaka Rambling House episode will be up there. But to start the show tonight, we head to Killorglin where I meet Joan Anne Brosnan and her beautiful guide dog, Katie. And Joan Anne shares her story with us here and what a life with a guide dog is and how important they are to her.
My name is Joan Anne Brosnan and we are in Killorglin.
And you were originally a Killorglin woman, Joan Anne. You grew up here?
I grew up in Killorglin. My family home is in Beaufort, but I've lived in Killorglin for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And what was Beaufort like?
Beaufort is lovely. It's nice rural area. So we grew up on a farm, so it was nice to have that. Growing up on a farm was nice.
I suppose you had loads of animals and everything.
We did.
Lovely. And do you have many siblings?
I have four brothers and four sisters.
Oh, fantastic. I bet they all looked after you.
They did.
Very good. Now, Joan, you have a very unique story. Tell us a bit about yourself.
So, I am blind and I've been blind since birth. And I have a guide dog called Katie. I've had her now for the last 7 years. She's a cross lab retriever. She's golden in colour, I believe.
She's beautiful.
She's
my diet.
She's lovely. She's a lovely dog. This is my third dog. So I had two other dogs before Katie. I had Quiver and Ira. And I would say having a dog has definitely been the best decision I ever made was to get a dog. Because of the independence and the freedom it gives me, the confidence also just to get from A to B. And you know, just the companionship of it as well, just to have a dog around the house is lovely, and it's great just to have someone else in the house.
So how old were you when you first got your first guide dog?
I was 23.
Okay, so you know, the 23 years you were growing up, what was life like then before you had a guide dog?
I would have used a white cane to get around, which is another form of mobility for blind people. Some people are very happy to use the cane and it's an excellent mobility aid also. But for me, having a dog was just probably something I always wanted. I liked the idea of having a dog and just the independence of having a dog, and so for me it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about your first dog when you got him or her at the age of 23. What was that experience like when you first got to meet them?
Yes, I was very excited meeting my first dog, Quiver. I didn't really know what to expect and I didn't really know how guide dogs worked or what exactly, you know, it was involved, I suppose, in the training of the dog. So it was all very exciting. My first walk with Quiver was absolutely amazing. It still is hard to imagine to walk with a dog and to put absolutely all of your trust in that dog. And I had Quiver as well for 7 years she worked for, and then she retired and my parents took her, so she was always in my life. Getting her was amazing, and it was life changing, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And can you remember where you first walked to?
The first walk we would have done would have been in Cork, where the training centre for guide dogs is in Model Farm Road in Cork. So that's where we would have done our first walk in one of the estates. It was a walk just a nice straight walk. Quiver didn't know me, I didn't know her, so it was just more to get a feel of the harness and to just to get the feel of walking with the dog, I suppose, and getting relaxed and learning to trust her and feeling her movements and just understanding, you know, how to give her the commands, how to give her directions. And then that process continues on. Obviously you build up trust and you build up new routes. The dog gets used to you, you get used to the dog, and it was a fantastic partnership, that first partnership.
I'd imagine you were very nervous at the beginning.
I was very nervous, but I think I was more excited than nervous. The idea of having a guide dog was just very exciting to me, and it was I just couldn't wait to start training and having the dog, and, you know, just the excitement of bringing her home and introducing her to friends and family. It was just all very exciting.
So that was you at 23, and then you had Quiver for 7 years, and then you got another guide dog?
Got another guide dog then, IRS. She was a black dog. She was lovely also. And then I got Katie.
Katie. And tell us a bit about Katie, because she's beautiful and she's here under the table now.
she's very quiet, yeah. She's like I say, she's a lab retriever. She's just getting up now and giving me the paw. She's 9 now. She's still very puppyish, I would say. She loves her toys. She loves attention. She loves people. She loves her free runs, and I would say she definitely loves her work as well. So when Katie is working, she has a harness that I put on. When that harness is on, it's like she switches from play mode to work mode, and she knows then it's time to be serious and to put on her working head, I suppose. So when she has the harness on, she knows we're going somewhere. She loves her walks. She absolutely loves going for walks. She loves going on the bus. She loves going to new places as well. I think she likes the adventure of going somewhere new, of meeting people. She's very, very sociable dog, I would say, and she's great company as well.
Well, the greeting I got from her when I first came in was very, fitting, so I felt very welcomed when I was coming in here.
Yeah, she's very welcoming, yeah.
I suppose as well, Joanne, you are here living alone at the moment, so what's your independence like?
So I would be very independent. I live alone, obviously. I work as well. Katie, of course, helps with that independence in terms of getting from A to B, going downtown, you know, going to the butchers, the hairdressers, the shop, all these necessary things that we do together on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be amazing as well to have that companionship and that friendship between each other. But I wonder, do you struggle at times when it comes to, you know, if there's places where they're not dog friendly areas or and whatnot, do you have any issues like that?
I've been very lucky. I've had very few occasions where I've gone somewhere where the dog hasn't been welcome. I did have an experience in a restaurant one time where I went in with Katie, and they said we had to eat outside because the dog wasn't allowed inside. I was hurt, and I was upset by it, to think that, you know, having a guide dog would prevent me from gaining access to this restaurant. I did explain it to the manager, and they did eventually kind of agree to us staying inside, but it definitely left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth. I was upset by it, and it can definitely be a bad experience. You know, obviously guide dogs are allowed into all premises, and it's against the law to stop a guide dog from coming into a venue. So it hasn't happened often for me, thank goodness.
Well, thank God. And today is International Guide Dog Day. I didn't know that before coming here, but tell us a bit about that. Do you know much about it?
I just read it on Facebook this morning, actually, that it's International Guide Dogs Day. I suppose for guide dog owners, it's a day to acknowledge the amazing work done by guide dogs and to, I suppose, to think about our own situations as well and how lucky we are to have a dog. And to have that experience as well.
Mm-hmm. And the people that go into training these dogs, you know, there's months of work in it as well, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's such a long process, and there are such an amount of people involved in it, from the people who mind the brew bitches and the stud dogs, and then those same people who look after the puppies when they're born for the first few weeks, onto the puppy raisers who have the job of taking the dog for the first year and house training the dog and ensuring that the dog can interact in social settings, and those people do an absolutely amazing job, because after the year they have the heartbreaking, I suppose, task of giving the dog back to Cork to pursue its training. So that's difficult. And then obviously in Cork there's the training process, and it's a long process to get the dog, you know, to get use of the harness and get use of commands, get use of guiding a blind person, or in the case of the children with autism, of working with the children with autism as well, because guide dogs cover that also. So it's a huge amount of work that goes into it, and it's a lot of absolutely amazing people involved and doing fantastic work.
Mm-hmm. And amazing people like you as well, that, you know, you get this companionship, you have Katie now, and you have a bond for life.
Oh, absolutely. It's an incredible bond. Every day when I walk to town, like I do think to myself, like, just the amazing work that she does and the level of trust I have in her now. Mm-hmm. You know, she's so familiar with all of our routes that I rarely have to give her a lot of instruction these days. She's so used to working with me, and we're such a good team together, I suppose. You know, she knows exactly what it is we're going to do.
Well, Joanne, it's been fabulous talking to you. Your story is beautiful, and Katie is beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much, Kaya.
And that was Joanne Brosnan speaking to me here on Travels Through a Kingdom. Thank you so much, Joanne, for sharing your story. She's such a wonderful person, and so is Katie. She's a beautiful dog. She's full of fun. And I think Joanne summed it up perfectly when she said, you know, as soon as the harness comes on, the dog knows that it's work mode, whereas when the harness is off, the dog is a dog at the end of the day, and it's just a companion for life. And it's amazing. And just to hear how a guide dog works and the amount of training it takes for them to be able to assist their match is quite astonishing as well. And I didn't realise it costs almost up to €51,000 to train one guide dog here in Ireland. So if you can, no matter what you have or where, make sure to donate to the Irish Guide Dogs Association. It will be well worth it. And again, as I said, thank you so much to Joanne for sharing your story. You can get in touch tonight by texting or WhatsApping us on 083 300 3300, or you can email kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll be back with more on Travels Through a Kingdom after this break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom. It's myself, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7. And I do hope I find you well. Now, as promised, here is a tune from Jim Lyons, who I met at the Knockalocka Rambling House last week and who kindly invited me as well. And this is his song called Brosna Town.
My dear old home on the Kerry Hills, my thoughts are still with thee. Although I'm in a distant land, far o'er the deep blue sea, I would like to stand outside your door and watch the sun go down, and to hear the church bells tolling o'er my native Brunsby town. By the old wood road I would like to stroll, with its hedges tall and green. By Hannon's gate I would debate with some lovely fair Colleen, or take a stroll to Guinea's Bridge on a Sunday afternoon, where oft I danced a polka set to the fiddler's lively tune. By Carrigal Lynch's winding bins, in fancy too I see the river feel flows fast and clear, by Murphy's elder tree, where many a romance was discussed from dark till early dawn, and where many's the happy hour I spent with my lovely Colleen Bawn. A hanock of Clarick's rugged hills I'd like to stand once more, and to view from Shannon Airport to the town of Sweet Ratmore, back to the peaks of Cuddy's Reeks, Killarglen on the Lown, from Castlemaine to Coolagren, and home by Brasna Town. And now to conclude and say farewell to her mother and Ireland too, I'll ne'er forget when both of them fast faded from my view, but soon I will return again, and good times we will put down in my cottage home by the old wood road, 3 miles from Brasna Town.
And that was Jim Lyon's song Brasna Town here on Travels Through a Kingdom. You can get in touch tonight by texting or WhatsApping on 083 300 3300, or email kflynn@radiokerry.ie. And a big thank you again to Jim Lyon for his CD as well, and we'll be playing you more from that CD as the weeks go on as well. Now, over the month in the Great Southern Hotel in Killarney, the Artist's Eye on Kerry event took place, where varieties of artists painted different parts of Kerry, and there were such beautiful paintings. It was absolutely amazing to see and witness. And I spoke to Terry Kelleher, who organised the event, about the paintings and where the idea of this event came from.
My name is Terry Kelleher, and I'm the organiser for the Artist's Eye on Kerry project.
Terry, tell us about the Artist's Eye on Kerry. What is it?
It's a book it's like a tour. You're taking a tour through Kerry, but the difference is that you're seeing all the scenes and landmarks as through the artist's eyes. You get to share the experiences that they experience when they create these artworks. And so it's like an artistic tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where do you get the idea for that?
Well, I'm an artist myself, so I know how hard it is to get exhibition opportunities. And I love painting places and geographical places. So I thought it would be a great way to combine, you know, for myself, just to combine the painting that I'd like to do and give other artists an opportunity as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the same opportunities that I'd be looking for. And
you obviously had to approach a load of people, I see here, where we are at the moment. So how were they when you first approached them? Like, how were people like, I'd love to do that, or were they a bit sceptical?
Yeah, I put a call out online. It was all done online. And there was a lot of people who were really interested. But then, of course, you always get other people who think, oh, it might be a scam, or, mm-hmm. you know, somebody's trying to take advantage. And that's always a worry. You know, you understand for that. But most people were really accepted about it. They were really interested in taking part. So that was good, you know.
Now, you've just told me that you're originally from America and you're now living in Galway. But as you can see here in Kerry, there are so many places for opportunity to paint and
yes.
whatnot. And I also noticed while I was walking around the room, there is one of your paintings as well.
Yes.
So we'll come to that fairly soon to talk to us a bit about that. But let's just have a look at what we have around here at the moment. Now, this painting over here, from Fiona Bradley from the J.M. Reedy's Sweet Shop. I absolutely love it because that's a picture that you see so often in front of your eyes, but you never really take much notice to actually paint something like that.
Yes. Yeah, it's fabulous. I think it really captures the whole atmosphere. You can really feel the scene when you look at a painting like this. You feel like you're there. And that's kind of the whole idea of the project. You know, you're really seeing it through Fiona's eyes here.
Mm-hmm. You know. And can you describe exactly what it looks like for the listeners?
Oh, it's a painting of two gentlemen in a pub in Killarney. And it's almost like as if you're walking back in time. It's very, you can feel the old-fashioned pub, and the gentlemen are having a laugh between them. It's a real warm, kind of a cozy feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, really like that because it really hits home.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody can identify with that. Anybody who's been to an Irish pub, and in a country pub especially, you've seen that scene yourself.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. And there's another one up here that caught my eye. This is from, let's have a look, The Old House in Arcot. I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Arcot?
Yes, I think that's how you pronounce it. All right, yeah. Yeah, it's another scene that a lot of people who have visited Kerry or any country place, really, you'd see the old house standing out in like a boggy background and like a moody sky, and you can really feel the atmosphere coming in.
Mm-hmm. And this is something like if you were just driving up the road or something, you would notice these houses. But again, like that, would you ever think to stop and paint it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's amazing to be able to see the things that somebody finds, you know, beauty. And then you can see it yourself when they capture it. You can see, oh, yeah, that is actually something that would catch my eye, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can relate to it, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a few more here. I absolutely love this one here of True Kenmare. It's just so colourful.
Yes, it's a very bold, stunning and interesting concept where the artist has painted all the streets and in almost like a collage, but it's done in paint. It's very striking.
I love this one. Okay, anyone that goes to Ballyhigh knows that it's absolutely breathtaking there. So this is like, is it like sunrise? It is.
Is it sunset? I think, yeah.
So gorgeous. And who is this artist?
Judy. I think I pronounce her name Cantillon. Yes, she's a Kerry artist as well. She has some magnificent landscape paintings. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. So beautiful. Which one around here is one of your favourites? I know you shouldn't say that.
Yeah, I can't pick.
But is there any one that where you looked and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so eye-catching?
There are lots of them. I don't know. You know, to pick one, I would feel guilty.
Of course.
I do love this little tiny one. It's a quirky piece, and it's a bit different than the others. It's abstract Carol Feeney's.
How would you describe this?
It's a view of the Killarney Lakes, but it's vibrant and it's colorful and it's textural and it's almost, you know, if you didn't know what you were looking at, you wouldn't exactly know that it was Killarney Lakes. But when you say it's the Killarney Lakes, you can start to see the mountains here in the back and the lake in front of it and the greenery and. You know, it's interesting to me because it's a different style than what I would do, but I like it. I'm drawn to it.
Mm-hmm. And the colour as well would really catch your eye.
It is, yeah, very mm-hmm. vibrant.
And even the one next to it here of the Gap of Dunloe and the moonlight mm-hmm. over Kissands.
Yes.
That's gorgeous. And
absolutely.
The moon is just fantastic.
Yes. Yes, this artist as well, she was originally American and she's living in Kerry for a long time, Deborah O'Keefe. And it's very atmospheric. You can really you feel like you're there, you know.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah. And Terry, where is your own one again? I just spotted
it's
a few moments
here.
Ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so tell us personally about this one. How did you take to this when you first started putting pen to paper?
I love painting architecture in a landscape. Personally, I like when you do a landscape. For myself, when I create one, I like to have a sense that humans have been there, do you know? So I always like to have some bit of like a house or a tower or something. And I just really like the way that the light hits this particular house in the afternoon. It casts a big shadow and
the colors that you put into it are really beautiful. I can see like even in the trees there's different shades of green and brown and everything like that. How long would it take you to paint something like this?
That one, I think it takes most of an afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And have you have many other paintings that you've painted around Kerry or Galway?
I would paint a lot of Irish scenes. Yeah.
Wow. And is that what inspired you to come to Ireland?
Yeah, I love Ireland. I came in 1993 first. We came on a family holiday, on a tour, and instantly I fell in love with it. I knew that I would want to spend a lot of time here, definitely.
And where did you visit?
We did a tour around the whole island, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been incredible.
It was spectacular, yeah. It was really memorable. I mean, it was a huge impact on my life, obviously, you know. Yeah, it was really life-changing.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm absolutely delighted for you, Terry. That's just, it's a lovely story, because I think sometimes as us Irish people kind of overlook it at times, and when someone like you sees the beauty in it and says, I want to make my life here, it makes us realise we're actually quite lucky.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it is such a beautiful place, and it's incredible. I mean, yeah, I could never go back home, and well, it's not home anymore. This is home for me, you know. Yeah, definitely.
Positive moves. And there's another painting I saw. Well, I'll go to this one over here because I really like this. Okay, this is just your standard. You'll see the sign for the Connor Pass or the Dingle. But it's just something really striking about it.
Yes.
Who do you know who this artist is?
Tina Poole. I believe she's located in Dublin. It's different. It almost has a graphic quality to it, mm-hmm. yet still it's, you know, it's kind of painterly and traditional at the same time. It's a really interesting a viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. And she even has the number of the signposts on it as well.
Yeah, it's so detailed. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. There's something about it that it's quirky.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
And then finally, there's this one over here I have this habit of touching sometimes.
Yes.
And I think the 3D effect of this one here,
oh,
the Skedic Michaels.
It's fabulous, isn't it? This lady is, she only got started painting a few years ago. She was caring for her husband for many years, and I think he passed away and she took up painting. And it's fabulous. And she has two in the book of Skelligs. And the other painting that's in the book, she auctioned off for the Laura Lynn Foundation, and she raised a whole bunch of money for them.
Oh,
so it was really just, I mean, she's Tressa Rice. And yeah, she's just a really lovely lady. Yeah.
And Terry, talk to us a little bit about the book and how people can get it if they want to take a look at it.
Well, right now they can get it online, and we were hoping that maybe some of the shops might take it so that people could get it locally as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at the minute it's online on the website on artisidebooks.com. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Terry, thank you so much for your time. You're
thanks
good.
So much for coming. Thank you for having me. And yeah.
And that was Terry Kelleher speaking to me in Killarney a few weeks ago. And they also have a book as well where you can see those paintings called Artist's Eye on Kerry. You can get in touch tonight by texting or WhatsApping on 083 300 3300 or email kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll be back with more after these. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom with myself, Kaya Flynn, until 7. Now it's time to revisit the archive of Sean Hurley's Kerry White.
What we're going to do tonight in the programme, we're going to have a bit of nostalgia, we're going to have a little bit of poetry, we're going to have a little bit of music. Also, we're going to have, I suppose, a little look back at history and how things may have been done many, many decades ago, maybe centuries ago, when it came down to May Day. A lot of people around here might have some memories of your own home place on May Day and what it looked like and what you did yourselves. So, listeners, we are in Ballylongford. We are with the Active Retirement Group, and this is a pre-recorded programme. If you would like to get in touch at any time, it's 064-663-4444 or our text line number 083-300-3300. Now, Breda Enright is with me, and you're the chairperson of this very, very active retirement group, I'm told.
I am, yes, yeah. We have a very active group here. We do outings. We haven't gone anywhere yet this year, but we go flower shows, travelling out, theatre, boat trips. We have done anything I can think of, and I'm always open for ideas. Anyone got any ideas, I'll run with it.
Yeah. I suppose, like many other groups, when you go off out of Ballylongford, do you relax and have great fun?
We do relax. Yeah. We have a few drinks and we get nice and lively. And
is there any outing that you may have done, with, say, in the last 10 years that that outshone the others?
I think MRA last year organised our trip to the Mallow Garden and flower show, and that was superb. It was a beautiful day to begin with, and there were so many stalls and everything there to see and do. We had a great time there, so we did.
You brought along a little poem today for me.
I did. It's a very special poem to me because I have a daughter with special needs, and Brona is 26. Very determined young lady, attends St. John of God's in Tralee. And when she was born, like all parents that have a child with special needs, it's harrowing, it's very hard, it's hard to understand why it happened to you. But I got this poem from a friend who also had a child with special needs, and it settled us in a way, but it's just a very special poem.
All right.
And it's called Special Child, and it goes, a meeting was held quite far from earth. It's time again for another birth. Said the angels to the Lord above, this special child will need much love. Her progress may seem very slow, accomplishments she may not show, and she'll require extra care from folks she meets down there. So let's be careful where she's sent. We want her life to be content. Please, Lord, find the parents who will do the special job for you. They will not realise right away the leading role they're asked to play. But with this child sent from above, comes strong faith and rich love. And soon they'll know the privilege given in caring from this gift from heaven. This special child, so meek and mild, is heaven's special child.
Very good, Brona. Yes, and Brona came to you
26 years ago
to a very special mum here in Breda Inright, and dad as well.
And
so I'm sure she's very, very happy.
She's very content, I hope. Yeah, she's very good, very good. She, as I said, she has a very rare syndrome. It's called Prader-Willi syndrome, and it affects her muscle tone, and it's an eating disorder is the main thing, that food is like a drug to her. She can't help herself. So over the last 2 years, she had put on a lot of weight, but she attended Slimming World, and I bought her a treadmill. And I thought to myself, this isn't going to work out now. Brona is never going to stick with this. But fair play to her. Over the last 18 months, she's lost about 2 stone. That's going up on the treadmill every day for a half an hour.
Good, yeah.
I can do it for about 10 minutes, but she's brilliant. Yeah.
You know, sometimes we judge people by what they look like, which is totally wrong.
Oh, it's totally
It's
wrong.
What's inside
it's
that matters.
What's inside, yeah. And she's the one that'll always spot when I'm down. And she'll say, are you all right, Mum? And I'll go, yes, Brona, I'm fine. You know, she'll always spot when I'm in that downward slope, if you know what I mean, that we all hit now and then, like, you know. So yeah, she's very special to me, and all those in St. John of God's that help her, Carmel, her prime care is absolutely brilliant with her, but they're just all marvellous. So there,
Breda, thank you very much for your beautiful poem there, and I know that that was very well received by all of our listeners, not alone in Kerry, but indeed throughout our listening area. Thank you very much. Now, so, May Day customs of old. You want to talk to me for a moment about May Eve? Would that be all right? What's your name, first of all?
Mamie Carney.
Mamie Carney. Mm-hmm. What memories would you have got of May Eve?
From watching my mum and dad shaking holy water all around the garden, around the house, and I still do it to this day.
Yes.
Easter holy water. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you come from a farming background?
Not really,
no,
but it was always done in the locality in farms. It was done everywhere in those days. I was born in 1942.
The tradition kept going.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is that most traditions will keep going, providing they're practiced. It is like the Gaeilge. If we don't practice, you know, the Gaeilge, we'll lose it. Isn't that it?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct, yes.
There's a man here alongside you. I think he owns a few cows. Is that right, Donal O'Connor? How are you?
How are you, Sean?
Very good, Sean. Thank you.
I'm privileged here to be sitting alongside the girl that took me to school the first morning I went to school. Mamie, and I'm always grateful to her. And when she phoned me to come to show up this morning, I could not let her down. So I'm returning the compliment now, 80 years on.
But let me tell you, Sean, he was 12 years old when he went to school. So I'm that little bit younger than Donal, you see.
Was he a late starter than Mamie?
He was a late starter.
He's sitting between you, Mamie, and another lady over here on my right-hand side, the lady he met up the Bahurian. The first stirrings of love he got, you see, then. Isn't that right, Donal?
That's right, Sean. But you were talking, Dave, about May Eve, and back in the 40s now, when I was a young fella here in Ballylongford, I can remember the summer tree would be draped outside there. It was the horse chestnut, as far as I know.
Yes.
And it would usually have a bloom of foliage before the rest of the trees. And that would be over the stable door and over the cowhouse door to ward away evil spirits. I remember that quite well. Yeah. Apart from the holy water as well, like which Mamie mentioned.
Now, some people tell us that in the olden days it was the hawthorn bush as well that was decorated up, and etc.
Yes, they used to be afraid to bring in the hawthorn. Yes. That was never the tradition. Was you didn't bring that into the house. You were bringing in kind of evil spirits. Mm-hmm. It was all right to admire it outside, but not to bring it in. That was the tradition I remember. Anyway,
is it still unlucky to have a little bit of hawthorn in the house? Do you think?
I think a lot of those things have died out, Sean. Do you know, some of them would be coincidences that people had spotted way back along the line, and maybe they'd put one thing to another, and they could come up with the wrong to be like. Adding two and two and getting five, you know, they could come to the wrong opinion about them. But one thing that always strikes me, and I often think about it since, is the contagious abortion and the cattle and the pishogues and all that went with Maeve. And with the contagious abortion, you see, you could see why that thing started, because if you kept the cows, which were aborting, the following year or the year after, they were immune. But people thought by dumping a fetus or whatever that had been aborted into a neighbour that they were getting rid of the problem. Mm-hmm. And the neighbour would pick it up, all right, but your cattle would become immune anyway, you know. And I'd say it was that that gave rise to that particular undesirable habit, if you like. But all those things have died out, you know.
I'm just wondering, would some of those customs be attached to pagan customs of centuries ago?
I'd say they would. They'd go way back. You see, people had no, we'll say, cholera of all those diseases. I mean, they were waterborne. They didn't realise that for centuries what was causing it. And it was only with research that they eventually came to the idea of why those things were caused in the first place, you know.
Donal, I leave you for a while. Thank you very much for all of your memories there. And we'll be back to the lady alongside you during the programme as well later on. Now, there's a couple of ladies down here, very active at the moment, I must say. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
And your name is?
Máire Lolly.
Máire Lolly, Conasato.
Tommy Gama.
And you're looking forward to the season ahead and the summer ahead?
Time.
Conrad Mila Margot. And we're going to the lady alongside her. How are you?
Good, thank God.
You do talk?
Yeah, I'm good.
And what's your name?
Mary Collins.
Have you any memories of your own home on May Eve or during May?
Or bringing in the summer, putting up in the windows, the summer tree.
And how about the inside of the house then? Had you an altar in your house during May?
I had, yes.
Yeah. To ward off all the evil spirits?
That's right, yes.
That's it. We're going to go to a bit of music. You have a lovely lady down here by the name of Kitty, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
And she's learning the box.
Oh, she is.
She is. All right, so.
And that was the archive of Sean Hurley here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And that's almost it for tonight. But before I go, I want to say a huge thank you to Joan Ann Brosnan and Katie the Dog for coming on and telling your story. It was absolutely beautiful to listen to. And you came across so well. After the interview, she was like, I hope that's okay. But she came across absolutely amazing. And thank you so much again for sharing your story. I want to say thank you to Terry Kelleher and to all who tuned in tonight as well. And just to let you know, you can listen back to this show on the Radio Kerry podcast section on our website or on Spotify. Just search Travels Through a Kingdom and you can find all our old programmes there too. Stay tuned with us here on Radio Kerry as Elaine is on the way with 7 days. And then Sean Riley is on from 8 until late. So until next Sunday, take care. Bye bye.